On this week's show,
I talk about the green grass theory or the Cloverfield paradox.
I speak about Hard Sun.
And I talk about the Han Solo movie trailer. Han Solo, Nigel. Han Solo.
Masturbation is a normal sexual behavior. But like any other behavior, when overpracticed, it can lead to both psychological and physiological imbalances and side effects. One of the side effects of overmasturbation is hair loss.
And
stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people from other alternate dimensions, people who know the world is going to end in 5 years' time, people who are infected by symbiotes, people who keep Wookiees as friends, people who like PS4, and people who know what the word... Oh, what was it?
Stygimoloch.
Stygimoloch means... Dave, I hate you, if you're listening. It's this week's Monkey Nut Punch podcast! Brought to you in association with coffee. Keeps the world turning.
Is a stitchy mollock the same as a mashy niblet, which is a golf term?
No. Stitchy mollock is not that. Stitchy mollock is a type of dinosaur. Which we only learned today. That Dave, yes. Okay. So, as you can hear, we have Keith, the man who can only be described as, that's not a moon. It's Keith.
I'll give you
that's
this. That's
no moon.
I'll give you this week.
Thank you very much.
He's orbiting again. No, he's putting his belt on.
And as you can hear, Nigel, who I found behind the fridge. I only found him because of a noise that the fridge kept on making. Every time the compressor turned on, I heard a ow! And he was trapped behind there. So I released him for this week's podcast.
Thank you.
So, on this week's show, we'll be covering...
He's out of his cupboard. He's out of his den.
He's out of his cupboard.
I see him. I swear to God, his wife keeps him locked up in there.
She does.
I choose to be in there.
He chooses to be in there. He's agoraphobic, really badly agoraphobic. This week we'll be talking about Netflix releases, the release of Cloverfield Paradox, which kind of surprised all of us and bit us squarely on the arse. The BBC show Hard Sun, which Nigel recommended us to watch, which I watched two shows. Keith's watched one, and I think Nigel's watched all of them.
Almost.
The
one,
Han...
One more.
All right. The Han Solo trailer. The Venom trailer that came on. We have a quick chat about PS4 Pro Super Sampling. And then, we'll talk about some other stuff too. Maybe Keith will talk about his drones. So
he's going to drone on about drones.
Yeah. So a trailer for Cloverfield Paradox dropped during the American Super Bowl. And it said the following. Cloverfield Paradox, now available on Netflix. I didn't quite say that, but that's what it meant. And guess what? Cloverfield Paradox on Netflix. So I woke up Monday morning to find that Cloverfield Paradox was available to watch in its entirety on Netflix. I knew it was going over to Netflix. And I thought it was going to be in like April time, but they fucking just surprised us and released the whole fucking thing. And I have to say the following. Felt like a Black Mirror episode. It genuinely felt like a Black Mirror episode more than a Cloverfield Paradox one. So let's talk about it. So let's start off with the fact that it was originally called the God Particle. All the kind of hysteria around the Large Hadron Collider and, you know, the work they're doing at CERN and tearing a hole open in space and the consequences of that. They set that up, but they set it up in a world which was running out of energy for all intents and purposes, which was causing kind of wars and this, that and the other. So they put it up in space for safe reasons and they tried to make it work and it didn't work for several months. And then all of a sudden one day it worked and poof, station's fucking gone. Earth is missing. Turns out on the other side of the solar system. But here's the twist. They're on the other side of the solar system in another universe. And some poor woman's trapped in the wall screaming, which was the first fucking impression I got of the whole thing, was just like kind of first bit where I actually sat up and started paying attention is when they opened up this panel on the wall and there's this woman trapped in all the cabling because the station kind of appeared in a place that she was, and they kind of merged. So they had to cut her free and put Popper in the lab. And then people started going strange. There was a throwback to earthworms killing someone, which was, I think, was mentioned in 10 Cloverfield Lane by John Goodman's character, if I remember correctly. I probably got it completely wrong. And it just kind of went all weird in that. And then they did a reset to help everything out. But before then, there was a guy going on about conspiracies and stuff and saying this will tear a hole in the fabric of space-time, just like people were worried about with CERN. And it'll ripple not only forward in time, but backwards in time. So that kind of explains the events of all the Cloverfield films being sewn together in the most haphazard
The backwards in time was an Easter egg to an already filmed fourth Cloverfield film, which is set...
Not the 2007 Cloverfield film.
No, it's a new one coming, set in the Second World War. It's about American soldiers that get shot down, on D-Day behind the enemy lines and discover that the Nazis have been messing around with supernatural shit. And that was a hint. That line was supposedly an Easter egg hint at that film, which has already been shot and is in the can. The other thing to mention was called God Particle because the original MacGuffin, if you like, wasn't what we saw in this movie. They changed it about 6 months ago. So it was originally going to be around this God Particle and Hadrogen Collider thing, but it slightly changed. So that's why it ended up as the Cloverfield Paradox. But it was originally called Cloverfield, the God Particle. But they decided to change the story somewhat, apparently. That's info on that bit.
That's what they did with the 10 Cloverfield Lane too.
Yeah.
Because it was just originally three people trapped in a fucking basement, not knowing if the world was over or not. And then they thought, fuck it, throw in the aliens at the end.
They didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a reason why they were down there. And John Goodman's character, I can't remember his name. He wasn't nuts after all, was he?
Well, no, he wasn't. He wasn't very nice. He was using it to his own advantage. But the twist at the end is that he wasn't lying.
Oh. Yeah.
He was nasty, though.
Yeah, I suppose.
Howard.
Howard, yeah, former Tagarotto employee. Because apparently they work their way through it. So they've got that one. And this is the funny thing is they already started talking about a film after Project Overlord, which is the next Cloverfield film, which I'll change the name of, I imagine, before it comes out, starring Daisy Ridley. So they've already cast Daisy Ridley
after Project Overlord. I think it will probably keep the name Project Overlord, you know, because Overlord was the name of the D-Day landing. And it's set around the D-Day landing, so that's what Operation Overlord, I think it was called, if I remember back to my classroom history.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. If they cut out all the Cloverfield stuff, as I said before, it could have just been a Black Mirror episode, and it probably would have been a really good Black Mirror episode. And if you'd have given, say, Charlie Brooker the script, even though I'm not a big fan of it. Of Black Mary, I think he probably would have done a better job.
I thought it was quite a good film. I thought, for considering its budget, I like the actors. I like Daniel Brum, whatever his name is. I think he's quite a good actor, and I quite liked it. It was a bit. It reminded me of Event Horizon, in the weird things that were happening, like when Irish lad got his arm. And he was still funny, even in this, even though he was meant to be playing it serious.
I don't want to sound rude or anything. He was he played the guy from the IT Crowd, but in space.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
He was pretty fucking tote cast.
Which guy?
Chris O'Doyle. He's the one, you know, turn it off, turn it on again, not Moss.
Not Moss. I know Moss. I don't know the name of the other guy. Yeah, not Moss.
But he played IT support for all intents and purposes.
Yeah. Have you cloned it half an hour again? Anyway, it's too Irish.
There's more Irish than he was. So
yeah.
But the funny thing with his dead but alive arm with an answer was amusing. It's like, where's the gyroscope gone? I don't know. And then it's like the arms indicating, give me a pen. So they give it a pen and a piece of paper and they say, cut open I can't remember his name now, the Russian fella. And they cut him open and they find the missing gyroscope inside the Russian fella, and the arm told them to. I'll be honest with you, it didn't, if Charlie Brooker and the Black Mirror team would have written it, it would have tied up better. Everything just seemed kind of just a bit too fucking random in places for it to work. Like the thing with the arm, yeah? It's like, how did the arm know, and how the fuck was it fucking working? And that didn't make any sense, yeah?
Yeah, bits of fantasy in it. I kind of understood two reality or two universes colliding with each other and trying to exist in the same space. I understood that, but that didn't kind of explain the arm. So you're correct there. There were bits
all
about it.
All the worms getting onto the stage. All the worms getting into the guy.
There were bits that didn't work.
Is it like a bit of spatial displacement? But were they their worms, or were they the worms from the other station with the blonde lady as the comms officer? So
But there's an interesting thing: the newsreader that was interviewing the guy from Gotham, because that's the in that little sort of skit. That before they sort of, you know,
she was the one who was poisoned in 10 Cloverfield Lane and banged on the door.
Yeah, she was. I like the fact though at the end, the ending where they're descending into Earth, the monster, which is fucking huge, by the way, was looked like the one from the original Cloverfield. It was the same monster, but just much bigger. Much bigger.
I'll be honest with you, that was a bit where I went, bollocks. I went, that's bollocks,
because of the
given the size of that creature, yeah, it would starve within about 5 days and then die. Yeah, it would cause massive destruction, and God knows what it would do to the planet, but it would die within 5 days. Plus, the other thing too is every time it needs to breathe, it has to put its head down on the ground because there's not that much air at that high
but
up in the atmosphere.
It was about a 24-hour period, and it was only just above the clouds, so you know, you don't know the actual height there, because you know clouds can come down below.
It dropped in from space. The view did, Keith, at the end. It followed the thing, dropped in from space, hit the cloud layer, which means it was fucking high cloud. That's like SR72.
Hang on. You choose to be scientifically picky here, yet the whole layer scene, which should have bothered you in episode 8, didn't.
Wars, mate, and it lives in Dungeons and Dragons territory, opposed to Star Trek territory. That's why. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
That monster was bollocks. If it had come down, and you'd have just seen like 10 or 12 of them stomping around New York or LA or something like that, at 3,000 foot high, I would have gone fair enough, but. That size, the creature's dead. We could just wait for natural causes. It's going to suffocate and die. Yeah, seriously. It's going to suffocate and die and fall over.
Just wait it out, hide out.
It's literally, that's what we have to do, is wait it out. Get everyone on boats.
I was going to ask, how does this Cloverfield film tie into the other?
Well, it's supposed to be the cause of all the shit. This is the reason that you had the aliens invade in 10 Cloverfield Lane. This is the reason that you had the monster come out of the trench. And this is the reason that you'll have Project Overlord, where US Marines with dropped in behind the scenes to find German zombie Nazis.
Basically, Nigel, the premise is the movie starts with the fact that Earth, for some, whatever reason, is running out of energy. We don't know why. They don't ever tell you that, but Earth is running out of power. Apparently, we can't generate enough power. So the premise is that they're testing something on a space station above the Earth, a new international space station called Cloverfield, is it not? Space station is called Cloverfield. And they're testing this new kind of power generation. And if it works, it's free, unlimited power. And there's a little skit where this guy's going, don't do it, because it will basically break reality. And that's what it did. It broke reality. So... Yeah. It opened up portholes on what it implied. It broke reality. Things came from the thing, you know, the demons, as he calls them, will start walking. It basically broke the multiverse in effect. So all these things that you saw in other Cloverfield films are a result of this particular one. Hence the name, the Cloverfield Paradox.
Cloverfield. Yeah, because it's the one that's the thing that's supposed to cause all the shit. Yeah, you should be able to trace it all back to that. Was it a good film? It was a good film. Was it a great film? No, it definitely wasn't a great film. Netflix got a fucking steal there, I think.
It was just quite neat the way they did it, though. I mean, you know, we knew that there was a third Cloverfield coming, but nobody knew anything about it. They didn't know that it'd been renamed. And then Super Bowl drops this trailer. First anybody's ever seen this film, and boom, it's already available. That was quite unique.
That's marketing.
That's
clever.
I'll be honest with you.
Do you remember what happened? I know we're going to talk about a game here, but Fallout 4. They literally did that with Fallout Shelter.
They did.
They announced it on E3 on the stage, and he went, and it's available now. So people who were hyped about it just went, and then they've gone straight in. And to be honest with you, they should do more.
I think that we're going to find more things like this. I'm waiting for the 4K streaming service, which will premiere films at home, which everyone can access, because I believe there's a couple already that exist, but only a few special individuals can get hold of that. But they'll charge you like £60 or something for a one download of this film. Yeah. And you'd be a case of you'd invite your mates all over to your house, get your nice big TV out and watch it. And I think this is probably the start of that kind of revolution.
I hope it isn't, because I still believe in cinema. I like the cinema experience. And I know that a lot of people are worried about the Netflix model. I like the way Netflix is disrupting TV. But actually, I hope it doesn't kill cinema, because you will lose out on something. There are some films that are meant to be seen on a big screen. Like, you know, you can say what you like about the story, but Gravity is always one of those films that sticks to mind. When you watch it on a small screen, it nowhere has the same impact as when you saw it on a big screen.
So sitting in a room with 100 strangers and a sticky floor makes all the difference, you're saying?
Well, it depends what cinemas you go to. The cinemas out here are really, really good. We're quite spoiled.
They make you stand for the national anthem every time.
They do. Well, the King's Anthem, slightly different. But you can get a King's sofa anthem here. You can get a sofa here, really comfortable.
You can get a sofa here. We've got every man cinema.
Pay a hell of a lot more fucking money than we do for here.
And I bet you it's fucking five times the quality.
No, actually, it's not. I'd say the sofas that we get at our local cinema here are on par with it.
I'm not talking about the sofa. I'm talking about the whole experience of Mr. Stern.
I like the Everyman experience, but I'd say that some of the stuff that they do here is very well done.
Okay.
But I think Everyman probably tops it a tiny bit, but only because you can order a beer.
And a pizza. And wine.
Yeah, and they do that. They do that Japanese beer in Everyman Cinema. The one that begins with a K, but it's a really nice beer. Worth ordering when you go. Kiri, I think it's called.
Okay. All right. So to wrap up Cloverfield, they should have passed the script to Charlie Brooker to tidy up before they finished it, even though I'm not a big fan of fucking Black Mirror. I felt it would have fitted much better in the Black Mirror universe than it would have in the fucking Cloverfield universe. But hey, that's just me. But saying that, the main actress in it was in that Black Mirror episode where they're all old and dying. What was that one? San Juniper or something, was it?
What season was that? Is that the latest one? Because I haven't watched all of them.
No, the previous one.
I don't remember that one.
The two lesbians.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah.
On that note, Nige recommended for us to watch a TV show called Hard Sun. So I Googled Hard Sun and I realised I should have looked on BBC iPlayer instead.
Yeah. Yeah, you should have.
But I watched the first two episodes, and the first thing is, I can't remember her name now. What's the name of the woman character in it?
Elaine Renko.
Renko looks like a 14-year-old boy with a woman's bottom surgically attached to her.
Yeah, I can't quite understand how she has a fully adult son.
She looks old. But when you get a close-up of her, you can see her wrinkles. She looks about fucking 40 on a close-up.
Yeah, well, In later episodes, after I think episode 3, they do explain how she's got a son in his 20s when she's about 34, 35.
Oh, she's not. She's 37, 38.
Yeah. Well, basically, when she was younger, about 14 years old, she was raped.
Yeah, they said that in the second or third episode.
Yeah, what's his face? Charlie Hicks finds out about it and sort of he keeps it to himself as a, you know, a part of that. I'll use that bit of information later.
Yeah.
You know, as he's investigating her.
See, part of me is watching this TV series, yeah? And part of me is worried that the hard sun file that they got was a genuine hoax. And that's the twist at the end, where they think everything's going to go to shit, and it turns out that nothing's gone to shit. And then they have to live with all the fucking bad decisions that they've made, thinking the world was going to shit.
Mm. Especially the MI5.
It's not that. I'd love to tell you it's that, but it's not. Because there is a second series confirmed, I believe.
Oh, no. You can do that. You can do that and get all the way up to the fifth series and then tell them, because they can get to do some horrible shit. I watched the second episode with the dad, who went loopy and fucking just murdered everyone, and they turned up to the
and he took his kids out into the woods, yeah.
There was a scene where Renko's running away, and I'm not joking, I think I made a joke with you over the phone that she can't run,
yeah,
and she looks like she does what Scorny Weaver did in Aliens, where she does like spastic flailing to the politest way of saying it.
Have you seen Phoebe run in Friends? Imagine that. Not quite as bad.
Yeah, it kind of made me think of that. I do like the way that she's got this attitude that I can't really take anyone in a fight, so I'm going to have some secret knuckle dusters, which are fucking painfully illegal in this country.
Yep.
Along with a nightstick? It's an extendable baton.
Baton, yeah.
Yeah.
Extendable baton, which police issue.
Yeah, which is perfectly legal for them.
It's perfectly legal for police to have it, and I think even security guards.
Yeah, I think you can, but I think you if you're not a police officer, you have to display it. I think that's the rule.
Oh, I don't.
Some fucking.
Oh yeah, maybe.
You got concealed carry permits and stuff in states in the US, and we have to fucking show a baton.
Yeah,
it's fucking mad, that, isn't it?
Well, a taser.
Taser, yes. But yeah, I watched the first two episodes. I can see it's got a future. I can see that that black actress, I can't remember her name.
I've forgotten her name.
Evil bitch.
Yeah,
she has been typecast as annoying bitch. Yeah.
Oh, she's not annoying bitch. She's less annoying and more just fucking evil in this.
She's annoying and evil.
She's annoying and evil. And Neil Cross, please do that actress some fucking justice. Stop typecasting her as a bitch. I like to think that she's an actress that's probably a nice person in real life, and she likes playing the bitch to get it out of her system.
Yeah, probably.
But the worry is that she's a complete bitch in real life too.
She does play that little bit too well. I mean, she was the same, almost the same in Luther. She was less evil in Luther and just annoying.
She was incredibly annoying in Luther. To be fair, at first in Luther she wasn't really. She was a new girl, wasn't she?
Yeah, but she was in the same position that Renko was in. She was brought in to fucking check up on Luther.
Yeah, that's it. Brought in to check up on Luther, and then she just went all out bitch mode.
Yeah. That was just.
But
just
in this, she just starts off as an utter cowbag.
So, okay, did you watch? You said you watched did you watch the first episode?
Tapbag, that's a brilliant thing. I watched the first one. I want to watch more. I just haven't had a chance. I'm so far behind. I'm doing a bit of a Nigel at the moment. I'm way behind. I haven't watched any of the new Flash yet either. So,
I've watched the trial of the Flash, which was the worst fucking trial ever. Right now, Nigel, you watch Death in Paradise, don't you?
Yeah,
right. Remember the guy in the first series where he tries to explain how the crimes work? You need three things: means, motivation, and opportunity. Yeah?
Right.
All right. Barry, they could only ascribe some kind of motive to, but that motive was as fucking like diarrhea, isn't how solid it was.
Seen this episode, so I don't know what.
Okay, I'm just saying, but you watch it, you'll understand.
Is it out? When's it out in the UK?
Oh, God. I think maybe this or next week, actually. because they did three, and then they're going to have a break, and then they're going to do the remainder, which I find really annoying. We should just film the whole fucking thing all the way through. But, you know, it's one of those things. Apparently Arrow's really good, and I've got to kind of catch up with that.
Yeah, Arrow season 6 has been very good.
Yeah, they did a great bit where apparently where Ollie turns around, and Ollie and Diggle were standing in the old Arrow cave, or whatever you want to call it, and he says, look, there's no way we can get to him at the edge of town in time, to which Ollie turns around and goes, I've got an idea. And all of a sudden, you see the Flash fly him in there and then fuck off at high speed. Which is a great fucking little thing. It's like, Barry, can you give us a lift? Yeah, sure. Why not? I've just seen that as a clip on YouTube, and I thought that fucking brought big old smile to my
it's
face.
It's quite a good gag.
It is a good gag, yeah. I did it. I think they did it last time with a reference or something when he phones up Sing at Central City. But that's just me. So yeah, we watched that. Hard Sun, what did you think, Keith?
I'm intrigued by it. It's the element of the end of the earth happening adds a bit of a dampener on it. I'm trying to work out if you didn't have the, would it be a good cop show without the whole Hard Sun bit, if you get what I mean? Would it be quite a good cop show without that? Or would it just be another generic one?
I'll be honest with you. It kind of works. I feel it works without it. I think it's just...
That's what I felt.
Yeah. I felt that it doesn't need that. I felt that it comes across as a bit gimmicky and it doesn't really play into any of the storylines apart from... the motivation for the lunatics.
Well, the only reason why I feel it's there is to let the cowbag be in the film, in the program, because otherwise she's literally got no reason to be there at all, has she?
But it feels like a shoehorned in thing. It's not like Life on Mars, if you remember, and the spin-off from that, which. Can't remember the name of the title, but where
Ashes to Ashes,
yeah. Where there was this element in a cop show, but that element was always there and it was there for a reason and it has a payoff at the end. Whereas here, I actually think it would be quite a good cop show without that bit, and I'm glad you kind of agree with me.
I'll be honest with you, I don't think it. I think it, they did it and then they kind of walked away from it a bit. Well, I am. Maybe towards the end it picks up. But yeah, it's.
Yeah, people are sort of using the Hard Sun conspiracy, whatever, you know. But people think it's a conspiracy because the government have done a job on saying it's a conspiracy.
Just pause a second.
You think I am like shocked by it, so I'm up here bashing it because I don't like gay people? I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay. Do you understand that? Serious crap. I'm sick of being social engineered. It's not funny.
Yeah, so you've got... Yeah, so for the second episode, which you've seen, and the bloke goes a little bit mental, goes to his ex-wife,
yeah,
murders everybody... steals the kids and all that sort of stuff. He's done that on the basis that he's seen these reports of the Hard Sun and stuff like that, and it's turned him a bit nuts because he thinks, well, fuck it, everything's going to end in 5 years anyway, whatever. And then you got the same as I think it's the third episode, the serial killer.
Yeah, there's the third one. The guy said, I literally started that off, and my son came in and went. It tells me this guy just randomly stabs people. I can't really watch this, and switched on to Red Dwarf.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And he's doing it on a basis of the Hard Sun conspiracy as well. And he wants people to prove that there is, I don't know what you call it. Not, but it's where you help other people, you know, without being coerced into helping them.
Oh, he wants to know that they're, fucking hell, I can't
Samaritan.
Remember. Like a Samaritan, yeah.
Like a Samaritan, but, you know, basically, I think it starts off, I can't remember if it starts off at, no, it's a little bit into that episode, the third episode, he's on the bus, and he's he starts singing loudly on a bus in London. Now, if you've ever been to London, that don't happen. People look at you and go, he's a bit fucking nuts. Out in New York or America, you know, I'd imagine that would probably happen a fair bit. But over here in the UK, no, nothing like that. And he starts doing that and he's a bit, everyone's like, fucking move away from this guy, you know. And then he stops, takes out a razor blade or a knife and starts cutting into his arm. And he's like, and nobody paid attention to him until he starts cutting his arm. And then that's when someone steps up. And he said, if somebody basically stepped up and joined in with him singing and stuff, so there's a bit of camaraderie and whatever, then it wouldn't have escalated.
Yeah.
But because he's a bit nuts, it escalated and then he starts stabbing people.
It sounds like, do you remember Luther, the petrol station? Where you got the four people locked in the petrol station and the lunatic comes in.
And he's on the outside.
It starts smashing up the car and a guy runs out and sprays him in the face with acid and shit.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that.
Yeah,
From the same writer. So
same writer, yeah.
Okay, well.
It's worth watching a couple more. I've watched episode 4. I think there's 5. Or I've watched 5 and there's 6. I don't know.
I think you've watched 5 and there's 6 of them.
So it's worth watching a few more. It does escalate a little bit with Renko and Hicks, and then things happen there. MI5 bitch, she's, well, same as always. But then things happen with Renko's son.
Yeah.
And you find out a lot more about what's actually happened between Renko and how she got pregnant at such a young age, and what happened in the aftermath and stuff like that. And obviously, I agree with the whole Hard Sun business. It's the overarching storyline, isn't it? That's sort of tying everything together at the moment to make it concurrent.
It's a bit. It feels a bit loose from the two at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, they don't really reference it too much, but it just seems to be, this person was affected by the news story of Hard Sun, so now there's a whole episode on basically closing this guy down.
What they could have done is they could have set it back in time and set it at the turn of the millennia, and then they could have the lunatics be people who think that the world's going to end in before the 21st century comes in. Something along those lines. Okay, all right, enough Hard Sun talk. We're flying solo. We're flying Hand Solo.
Hand Solo?
Hand Solo, not Hand Solo. The Hand Solo trailer.
Well, in Nigel's case.
The Hand Solo trailer also dropped during the Super Bowl.
There's two.
There were two of them, yeah. One of them was okay, and one of them was okay.
Was a little bit more than okay.
Yeah.
I don't mean sarcastically, it was only a little bit better than okay.
Yeah. So, Keith, tell us about this Han Solo trailer, because
one of the trailers is a bit comical, and it has sort of modern light music, and it has basically Han Solo talking to the young Han Solo talking to a commander in the Empire. An Imperial recruiter, basically, telling him what life is like. It's a very bit, tongue-in-cheek, which is what the Russo, was it the Russo brothers? It was the Russo brothers.
Not the Russo brothers, the Lego Awesome.
Yeah, the Lego
Phil
brothers.
King. Phil King.
We're aiming for, and what they felt was too much of that in this film. So it was interesting they started off a trailer with that thing. And then I think it got a bit more interesting. I'm intrigued to see this because I've come to the conclusion Rogue One was a bloody good film and I enjoyed Rogue One. I've watched it again recently and gone, this is a really good film.
Agree.
I think Solo might
disagree.
Solo come out to be a really good film. And I think the standalone Disney Star Wars films will end up will be the better films than the episodes that they've basically screwed up. And I'm getting very, very fed up with Rian Johnson still, even now, after the amount of fucking criticism, still trying to defend that Snork decision. It was a bad decision, admit it.
Snoke. Snort decision.
Snork, Snoke, whatever. Bad decision. And it's what ruins the film. And I'm not really that, you know, the fact that he's meant to be making three more Star Wars films, I'll believe it when I see it, because I'm not sure I buy it. Because I think there's been such an outpouring of criticism, I'm not sure they'll go ahead with those films. Hence the reason why they've announced the Game of Thrones guys doing Star Wars films, which could be
interesting. They need some positive press.
Which could be interesting. But I'm not going to write off Solo yet, because, as I said, I enjoyed Rogue One, and I think this could be a good film. A lot of people have criticised the scene in this, in both trailers, actually, where you see the brand spanking new, all shiny Millennium Falcon. Now, that could be interesting.
Just a quick one. Are you in the same camp as Kevin Smith, that when this stream of Star Wars films ends, and that's the whatever Ray trilogy, or if you want to call it, they're going to blow up the Millennium Falcon?
Probably.
Yeah.
They've killed off every other bloody hero and ruined my childhood kind of thing. So, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I hope they don't. They probably will. A lot of people are criticizing that, and it's, you know, it's the fastest hunk of junk in the galaxy and blah, blah, blah. And this looks all nice and shiny, a bit like Amidala's ship from the first prequels. Again, I'm not yet ready to write this off, because no, I like Rogue One. I thought Rogue One was a good film. And it looked far better and far more Star Wars-like than any of the other Disney films so far. So I'm willing to give this a go.
I'm not.
Why?
I really am not. I am done with Star Wars. Star Wars is done. They cancelled fucking Rebels, yeah, which was my favourite Star Wars property.
They didn't cancel
the last
it.
Film.
They didn't cancel Rebels. The creators ended Rebels because they're creating something else after that. That it wasn't cancelled.
Yeah, well, that doesn't. Well, this, it goes like this, yeah. The long and the short of it is Star Wars Last Jedi was everything. It was about killing your past and not letting it govern you, yeah. Unfortunately, killing your past also means killing the other fucking Star Wars films while you're at it. So if that's what they want to do, that's fine. I'm sick to death. I'm sick to my fucking back teeth of seeing the shit that's coming out of Star Wars. It has become a fucking freak show. It is no longer about the films and the stories. It's about politics and who said what on fucking Twitter. And to be honest with me, be honest with you, there are so many better films coming out this year. Ironically, from fucking Disney, from one place, I'd rather go and see them. Star Wars, I'm dead. It's dead. I'm done. No more fucking Star Wars films. They've had their money out of me. They've actually had fucking three films more than they should have had out of me, because I said that I wouldn't go back to fucking Star Wars after the Revenge of the Sith. So, and people need to just turn around and say, look, I don't want to see this shine.
I think you're being a bit harsh, because I thought Rogue One was a good film. I can understand your criticism of the episodes.
Keith, so I don't sound rude or anything. You're not their audience anymore. They don't care about you.
Yeah.
They don't care about you. So don't fucking care about them. Don't waste your time and your fucking money on them.
You know who their audience is?
Their audience
are kids.
No, the audience is, they're not even fucking kids.
Yeah, Rogue
they're
One
some fucking imaginary. They're an imaginary group.
No,
at
no,
point in time.
Not Rogue One. I'm talking about
even the Star Wars film is still an imaginary group. They're an imaginary group because that film isn't even for fucking kids.
My kids loved it.
Gareth, I am getting increasingly angry about Episode 8, and I don't know why. But every time I hear this Rian Johnson fucking defend his decision, I wasn't interested in Snoke. I don't care whether you were interested in it. It's not about you. You're making a film for the fans. These films are owned by the fans. The fans are the ones that pay for it. I'm getting wrong now. And no, every time he goes, I don't care about you. No, you just don't care about the people. I really hope he doesn't get to make his three other films. I really do. Because it'll be a fuck you.
It goes like this. It's just not. They're not worth it anymore. I am sick of it. My son watched the Star Wars film. He, be honest with you, he's downstairs at the moment, pissing himself, laughing, watching Red Dwarf. because he probably finds that more funny. He likes Ant-Man, he likes the kind of superhero movies, but Star Wars, it doesn't grip him. It may grip your kids, but Dexter's Harry Potter's probably more his thing than fucking Star Wars. Actually saying that, when we were at Universal, he had more fun in Universal than probably your kids when they were doing the Star Wars things.
I have to admit, I'm looking more forward to the release of the second Fantastic Beasts than I am.
As long as J.K. Rowling can keep a fucking trap shut between
God,
here
yeah,
and there.
She's getting too political and stupid.
I don't want to know about your fucking politics. I want to know if it's a good film or not.
My opinion of her completely changed when she put that line out that I never said Hermione was white. Yeah, you did. Yes, you fucking did. You accepted and approved all the illustrations. You approved the casting in the movies. Yes, you fucking did. The only fucking reason that Hermione was changed to black in that play was it was a fucking whitewash. And you bloody know it. So,
yeah. I'll be honest with you. She did the same thing with Dumbledore.
She made him gay after the fact.
She could have written it in the last episode.
Backpedaled on that. Because she's in trouble. I forgot about this. Last week, she was rightly asked, is Albus done? Because this is around the whole Grindelwald Albus relationship, which she said was a gay relationship. She said it herself. And they said, so is Albus going to be openly gay in the next film? Because we all know that Jude Law is playing a young Albus Dumbledore. And she's backpedaled, saying, well, no, it's not going to directly say that he's gay. Well, hang on a second. You've told the whole world, you made this big show and dance of how fucking, you know, what's the word? Not diverse.
Progressive.
Yeah, progressive you are, saying that Albus Dumbledore was gay, and it kind of worked, it kind of made sense. And now that you have complete creative control over these movies, because you're the one that's writing them, you've now backpedaled and decided not to make Albus gay. Well, fuck you. Because, you know, you're ticking off the world at the moment, being all political and thingy and talking about progression and all this kind of bollocks, and then you go and do this. Well, shut your mouth, dear. Go and fill your do a Scrooge McDuck and fill a great big room with all your fucking money and swim through it and leave the world alone and just carry on writing Fantastic Beasts films, because I'm actually quite enjoying those because I don't have any expectations of them, which is quite nice. Everybody knows I'm highly critical of the original Harry Potter films, and I remain it even more so now because I've reread the books. I think the films were very bad, all of them. And I take back what I said about saying the first two films were really good. They're not. I take that back completely. Sorry, Gareth. Because we had an argument over that. Many, many moons ago.
No, you're not supposed to say sorry, Gareth. You're supposed to say you're right, Gareth.
No, you weren't, because I don't like any of them, and you bang on about the latter ones being great, and I don't think they are. But I did like Fantastic Beasts, and I'm looking forward to the second one.
Okay, all right.
I did like Fantastic Beasts, and my kids quite liked it as well.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it. It was a very nice family feeling film, and I think that's the reason they're dropping the Albus gay thing because it doesn't sell.
But this is,
and
again,
she can't get her money.
This is the whole fucking, it's bollocks. It does sell. It's just the media maker who, it's the whole thing about fucking, what was it? The Star Trek thing when they made Sulu gay, the Beauty and
the
Beast
with
thing,
you, the whole
which was
Star,
so
this,
fucking innocent.
Hang on a second. Hold on a second. The Star Trek thing, yeah, that was a distraction from it being a crap film. All right? That was a crap film.
Yeah, but they made
it was
a whole
terrible hodgepodge of a film.
They made a whole hoo-ha about Beauty and the Beast, and it was unbelievably innocent. It really was. I've seen more fucking worse stuff in the Carry On movie than it was in Beauty and the Beast. Nobody ever complains about the Carry On movie, and they were all fucking each other up the bum half the time. So, I mean, for God's sake.
Loads of people have got grudges with the Carry On films.
Trust me, not like they made about Beauty and the Beast.
Anyway, let's get away from this because politics and stuff. When it comes to my entertainment, I don't want to fucking see. If it's political satire, then that's the closest thing on politics to my fucking entertainment. But another trailer dropped. Tom Hardy as Eddie Brock in the Sony Pictures non-Marvel cinematic universe's version of Venom. And he has got the dodgiest fucking American accent.
With no Venom in it.
Yeah, no Venom in the trailer.
There's a movie called Venom. We've done a trailer for it, but you ain't going to see Venom. Hang on. What? What was the point in that? I like Tom Hardy. I want to put this out there. Tom Hardy, I like him. Apparently, he's a really good chap in real life because I know several people that have worked with him. And apparently, he is a decent and upstanding human being. Whether he works in this film or not at the moment is open for debate. And Sony, you've tried this before and you fucked it up. I don't quite know how they're getting away with this because it's rumored that Spider-Man's going to be in this.
It's not that's not the big rumor. The big rumor is that Carnage is going to be in this.
Oh, no, that's been confirmed. We know Carnage is in this.
Oh, okay. It was all right. That's it. Then you don't need to worry about it. Fucking Spider-Man can turn up or not turn up. Carnage is the one you want to see because that is
Venom is
the
anti-hero.
Scary one.
That's how they're making the movie. Venom is going to end up being the anti-hero that saves the day, and it's the big bad in this film is Carnage. Because they've already hinted at symbiotes, plural.
Yeah. Which means you might get Mayhem and the other thing. Actually saying that, do you remember when we were in Universal and we went on the Spider-Man ride?
Oh, yes.
Yeah? And
yes.
We got attacked by a load of Spider-Man villains, and there was like a lady, evil-looking Spider-Man. I can't remember her name.
She's rumoured to be in it as well. Yeah. Lady... Oh.
Mayhem, I think.
Yeah.
Ladybug.
Ladybug. Don't worry. It's a very big stretch for that, but I just need you just to go nod and apply that. Yeah, you went on that Spider-Man ride.
I went on that Spider-Man ride. Yes. Can I remember what was in
you
it?
You said you liked the Transformers ride, but I kind of like the Spider-Man one because it did the
every time you mentioned that Transformers. What that? I went on the version of that in Singapore, and when and is it the same ride? It's a 3D ride thing that you put 3D glasses on you and this thing. You get
on sitting like a
sim, is it the same thing where you're on the top of a building, you get thrown off it, and Bumblebee catches you? Because
I don't think it was Bumblebee caught us.
Oh, Bumblebee was definitely
there, but I don't think he caught us. I thought
another one caught us.
I'll
tell you, if you want to laugh when you're going to a theme park, take my wife with you. Because on this ride, when Optimus Prime turns up, you just heard this, oh, hello. and then when Bumblebee catches you, because you get thrown off this fucking building, and then Bumblebee catches you, you just hear this, oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Funniest fucking thing. I was pissing laughter. There's all these kids screaming, and I'm pissing myself laughing because of all the comments my kids making.
It's like if you do the Darren Brown ghost train at Thorpe Park, that made me laugh. I almost slapped one of the members of staff when I was doing it. Yeah, it was just like there's a bit where you're sitting in this train carriage wearing these VR goggles, yeah, and this creature is supposed to be walking through the carriage. So what they do is they get the staff, there's points where the VR flips off, like it's running out of power.
Right.
And then the idea is the staff run up to you and they like touch your leg, yeah?
Okay.
And they do it a couple of times to you, yeah? And I almost batted them away the third time. It's like, fuck off. but I was pissing myself laughing on there. It's because don't you, and I could, you know when you could feel someone nearby? You got that kind of sense the sound's not quite travelling right and all that. I could sense them there. Don't you fucking dare. Which I thought was quite funny. But yeah, it's the Venom film. I haven't seen enough of it. It was a tease trailer though. And yes, you haven't seen Venom, and I think they're going to release it and do a big reveal. So be patient. I think it's going to work.
It could potentially be good. But it just makes me laugh that we released a trailer without Venom for a Venom movie. Even if you just get the briefest hint, like a bat shot of him or something. But just to have like a bit of slubbery... I mean, you see the symbiote very briefly. But
yeah, come in those
on. What would have been better is if you'd seen the black ooze symbiont thing and right the very final shot, you just got a flash of a red one and he went, oh, that... That would have been epic, right? You could have forgiven it for not seeing Venom because everybody would just would have gone, or any fucking Spider-Man film would just been, you know, almost masturbating into their hands over that scene. That's what they should have done.
Okay, don't tell us what you do on trailers, all right? I don't want to know that. You haven't you?
He has. I watched trailers. He watches Wonder Woman over and over.
Wonder Woman! Okay,
Can I briefly bring up Discovery? We'll talk about it next week.
No, you can't bring it up.
Hang on a second.
You can't bring it up because we've got one item left. The PS4 Pro is getting super sampling. What the fuck is super sampling, you might ask? All right, okay. The PS4 Pro is supposed to output a 4K image, be it via a thing called checkerboarding. Now, what super sampling does is it gets the system to output this sounds really fucking awesome about it. It gets the system to output the 4K image using the super sampling, and then it downsizes that using the same super sampling on a 1080p image, so it's which kind of reduces a lasing a lot.
Downscaling.
All the demonstrations on
it's the opposite of upscaling, which is what they
it's upscaling and then downscaling. It sounds fucking mad, but the idea is that it's built into the firmware. So where you've got games that don't have the patch for 4K support or for super sampling support, I think the only game I can think of off the top of my head is The Last of Us that had super sampling support and then got rid of it and then put it back because they did something with anti-aliasing and didn't quite work. But now it will just run on your games natively without you touching anything. And it does if you watch the nerds at Digital Foundry on YouTube, and they are fucking nerds, and that's why I trust them. They demonstrate it, the anti-aliasing. It looks really good, actually, for distance-based objects. It doesn't work on Assassin's Creed, though. They demonstrated it does not work on Assassin's Creed and just being shit.
Unity?
I don't know if it was Unity. I don't know if it was Unity or Origins.
Never. Never.
Did I tell you I bought Unity on the Xbox One for 50 pence?
You paid money for it, Gareth?
I paid 50 pence for it.
I figured
it was worth 50 pence
risk. Money a week, that was.
50 pence? Yeah.
That was a pound a week.
It's not bad.
Lucky.
Yeah. But I had to do stuff. We had to tidy up the kitchen and do the dishes on a Sunday. So we had chores for that. And some other bits too. Yeah, so the only one of us with a PS4 Pro is Nige. So are you happy about that?
Yeah, and I've only got a 1080p TV, so that should hopefully make things look a little bit nicer on that.
What, Nige? Oh, look, darling, my PS4 broke. We need to buy a new one. Yep. Didn't see me stuffing the rag in there, you know, the night before. Darling, it's broken. Really, we need a new one.
Yep.
Is he still sticking with his story? Is he still sticking with the story? It genuinely broke.
It genuinely broke.
Yeah. I call bullshit.
It just started spitting discs out on its own volition. I had the version
under the sofa. You know, no getting one of your sons to press the eject button when mummy's not looking.
Anyway.
Yeah. Say that. Talk about games and stuff. I've been playing my way through the fucking Halo games.
Why?
And I did Guardians, which is fucking terrible compared to Halo 4.
Yes.
Yeah. If you compare it to Halo 4, Halo 4 is actually a really fucking good game. I didn't appreciate how good it was until I started playing all the other Halo games next to it, especially with the, I think they're rather lazy things where they've redone the textures. Yeah. It's nice having a button, being able to flip back to the old crappy view, but it's a novelty. It should only really be on the first level. And apart from that, just return back to normal. The first Halo isn't good. The second Halo I really like, actually.
It's better.
I'm playing the second Halo. It was really good. I've come to a conclusion. Maybe it's only the odd numbered Halo games are shit.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
So Halo the next one should be good.
It's a bit, you know, when I say why. Halo 4 was quite a good game. Guardians is rubbish.
Yeah, it's got no, I don't know who they got to not do the music in it, and I say not do the music in it because in Halo 4 it had a really distinctive soundtrack because they lost the guy who did the original Halo music.
Bungie.
Yeah, well, no, but they lost the guy. because they didn't have the guy on board to do it, and they turned around and went, fuck off. It goes, you've only ever produced one really good tune, and that's the theme, and we have the rights to the theme. Bye-bye. And then they got someone else to do it. And the soundtrack in Halo 4 was really good. It was something that really kind of stuck out for me. And then I was playing this. There is a bit in Halo 2 where you beat up an alien in a wheelchair for all intents and purposes. Yeah, it's like press X to beat alien up in wheelchair. I'm not fucking joking. Right? People who've played the game will know the section I'm talking about. Well, you jump onto his fucking wheelchair, because I tried shooting him and stabbing him and everything, and it was like, no, and they jumped to his wheelchair and just beat the shit out of him. And I'm like, that's not cricket. So yeah, I did that. I haven't played Halo 3. I'll get round to that. But I've just been playing through them, and Guardians is terrible. Guardians is really terrible. They don't give you enough bullets is the first thing. I'll give you an example. You play the original Halo, you get about 633 rounds that you carry with you, yeah?
And loads of guns dropping all the time.
I hate the idea of picking up other people's guns. I really do. I'm really not a fan of it, because all that a Covenant have to do to win, is to introduce signature guns, yeah? Push them against it, it authorises you. Not Judge Dredd, Scott.
Right.
That's it. Fucking game over. Master Chief. Pff, I'm out of ammo. Oh, fucked. The word bullet sponge. All the enemies are bullet spongy. Full stop. But yeah, I'm playing through it, and I'm fairly enjoying myself relatively. Guardians. There's a fucking Assassin's Creed style earwig mission. It's a whole mission where you're wandering around a camp trying to listen in on three conversations. And that's a whole fucking level. And then there was another level where literally you go up to your boss and you say, look, we've done what you asked us to do. And I go, okay, go and talk to the woman with one arm. Okay, go and talk to the woman with one arm. Talk to her. That's a fucking mission. What a load of... That was bollocks.
And for our American friends, where he says earwig, he means eavesdrop.
Yeah.
Same thing.
But yeah, I'm gonna do a segment next week, and is it me or is it Halo Master Chief Collection that is wrong? And I'll go through this in a bit more detail. I've been trying to take screenshots of like shit things that happen where enemies run into cover and then they just sit down. I'm not joking. There were two grunts that I was chasing around, yeah? And they just went, oh, I'm going to sit down. And the flood, oh, what a pile of shite. They want face huggers. They're desperate for face huggers, but they can't have face huggers because it'd be obvious who they're ripping off. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Anyway, you were going to say something about Star Trek Discovery.
Did I call it or not?
No, you didn't call it.
Well, they are using her for something that they can't possibly do.
No, she hasn't done anything yet.
Yet.
She hasn't done anything. It doesn't count.
Yet.
It doesn't count. Remember, it has to get to a point where she does something. Yeah? It doesn't count until she does something.
Fair enough.
Yeah, since she does something, then we can make a decision on it. But it goes like this. She's going to try something, and they're going to stop her. And the reason they're going to stop her is because Burnham fucked up right at the beginning. And if you want to close a character journey off as an arc, she's going to do the one thing that stops people dying.
The episode airs as well. It's airing as we record this. Do you think they're going to kill Burnham?
Depends if they are doing another series of Star Trek Discovery.
Well, they are. They're doing another series of Star Trek Discovery, but is it going anthology?
Well, that's not Star Trek Discovery. That'd be Star Trek.
Well, Brian Fuller, when he initially pitched Discovery, it was going to be a one season about the Discovery, and it was going to be an anthology Star Trek series. So next time, it's a completely different set of characters and blah blah blah. And it certainly is beginning to look a bit like that. There's some very interesting lines between Sarek and Burnham in this week's episode where she basically says it feels like I just said goodbye to him for the final time. And there was a couple of people picking up on this, and there's some speculation going around about, are they going to kill Burnham off? Which means that I don't see how you can do this, because she is the character about this. All the others are supporting characters. Burnham has been the focus of it really throughout. So, do you think they're going to kill her off?
It depends. If they turn around and say they're doing an anthology and they're doing another TV series, then yeah, they're going to kill her off.
Hmm. I'm wondering.
If not, then that's all depending on whether they say, this is going to be an anthology series and the next episode is going to be that.
Because originally they were saying the studio didn't want it. The studio wanted a series that followed the second characters, but they seem to be, you know, quite good at killing lots and lots of people off in this. So one way to do it would be, aha, we fooled you. It is an anthology series and bleh, kill Michael Burnham.
Yeah. And then it'd be ironic that they start the next series and it's a different actor, but their name's Michael Burnham too.
And it's a bloke.
And it's a bloke this time.
Because it's a bloke's name.
Yeah. And it turns around, there's an actual person called Michael Burnham. So it's like kind of, it's this weird, like, universal kind of joke thing where Michael Burnham is going to go through having a really shit time.
That could be quite
And it's
funny.
All based on, yeah?
That could be quite funny.
It could be like they go to the next different ship 20 years later. Character, Michael Burnham.
Anyway,
it could be the thread for it.
We'll talk about it more next week. Right, Gareth.
Nigel, you got anything to say?
No.
Dave, mate. Dinosaur names. Yeah, Triceratops, Tyrannosaurus, and Raptor. They'll do. Not fucking Edmontian, whatever it was called.
Edmontian.
I think. Oh, something along those lines. And what's that really hard one?
Something about sweaty bollocks.
Oh, no, we did Sakaar. Sweaty bollocks. That's why you had to remember it.
Sweaty bollocks. But,
no, it's Stachatosaurus. Stachatosaurus?
I can't remember.
I can't remember either. It's gone.
I'm really tired.
Anyway, on that dinosaur
brother,
bombshell.
Do you think he saw us?
Yeah. And on that note, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'm laughing at my cheesy joke.
You can't laugh at your own jokes, mate. That's just terrible.
Thanks for downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/monkeynutpunch.